Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Marilyn Pittman. On this program, we try to shed light from time to time on the specific health issues that confront the LGBT community, along with AIDS and HIV stories. We also covered our dangerously high levels of tobacco use. And now it's time to put the focus on aging lesbian and bisexual women and transgendered women and their specific health challenges. Because where else are you going to hear about that? Nowhere. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has funded five projects nationally on lesbian health, including two right here in the Bay Area, because I guess that's where the lesbians are. One is at the Lyon Martin Clinic here in the city, and the other is through the San Francisco LGBT Community Center. It's called Doing It For Ourselves. Joining me from Doing It For Ourselves is Mickey Eliason. She's an associate professor of health education at San Francisco State and the author of several books, including The Dyke Diagnostic Manual, a book about what lesbians call dyke drama, which we're going to get to, or maybe even on another show. We'll see. Mickey, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thanks, Marilyn.
Good to have you here. And Joan Hepperly is here in the studio as well. She's one of the study's facilitators and one of its participants as well. She has a 34-year career in education, including as a principal, a school board member, many of them here in San Francisco. Joan, welcome to Out of the Bay.
Oh, thank you very much, Marilyn.
So thank you so much for being here. It means a lot because, you know, we are older and maybe it was hard for you to get up. No, I'm just kidding. You're doing this amazing study the HHS has funded. Why did they decide to put our taxpayer dollars towards studying lesbian health? Why is that a concern?
Well, it's
Mickey?
A rather interesting story. There was a White House conference on LGBT health in 2012, and the activists that were there pointed out to the government officials that 85 to 90% of all the funding that's ever been expended for LGBT health has been men who have sex with men, HIV research, substance abuse research in men, and very little research on women. And they felt so shamed by it that the Department of Health and Human Services gave an appropriation directly to the Office on Women's Health, and they fast-tracked a project that got out within 6 months.
Wow.
And funded projects prior to the election of 2012. They were a little concerned that the money they had appropriated would be taken back if the election had ended in a different way. So it was rapid speed, unheard of in government funding processes.
And is this because we have the Obama administration to thank?
Yes, we do. Kathleen Sebelius directly appropriated this money for the projects.
Well, she's certainly taken a lot of heat for the health rollout, so at least she's doing something kind of amazing.
She's done something for lesbians.
Something for lesbians from the government, which is amazing. I mean, why study lesbian aging women over 40? It's for lesbian and bisexual women and transgendered women. Anyone who identifies as a woman can take this, become involved in this study. And so what does the study hope to learn, and why do we need to study this?
Well, here's the other piece of that story, is that the money was given to the Office on Women's Health, and they were able to determine what the priorities should be. The director of the Office on Women's Health is a biomedical obesity researcher. So she decided to call this project the Healthy Weight Initiative. And that's what all of us competed for, was money for a healthy weight initiative in lesbians. And as those of us who are in lesbian communities know, that's a difficult topic, and that we...
Well, Susan Orbach's book in 1997, Fat is a Feminist Issue,
right,
and the fat rights kind of movement, there really is something like that. I mean, there's a lot of discrimination. It's like the only thing left that you can do is discriminate against fat people.
That's right. But biomedical obesity researchers do not know these things. They don't know
there's a lot of fat dykes who are happy being fat dykes.
Correct. So what we did in most of our projects is we subverted the paradigm a bit, and we decided to focus on things like quality of life. And so we wanted to develop health education and support programs for older lesbian and bisexual and transgender women. And we started out by doing focus groups to find out what women really wanted. And they didn't want weight loss programs, of course. I mean, we knew this already. They wanted a place to build community. We had women participate in focus groups that came from all over the Bay Area. They came from San Francisco, from Berkeley, from Oakland, from the North Bay, the South Bay. But no matter where they came from, they all said the same thing. There's no community for older women.
Really, which is a group of people that, having grown up in that particular demographic, being in part of that, is that's what we relied on all those years in the 70s and 80s and 90s, really. Well, the 70s and 80s for sure. In our coming of age years, we really relied on a sense of empowerment from the community, including, you know, being outspoken feminists and all kinds of activists, gay rights activists.
Mm-hmm. But as we aged as a community, we've lost some of those community supports that we used to have, like softball. How many of us can go out and play softball now? Come on. You know, I think we have a disproportionate number of people with knee problems because of softball.
And the weight doesn't help.
The weight doesn't help. The bar scene, many of us have grown out of a bar scene, and the music has changed. You know, we can't find venues. Well, we can't find a place to dance anymore. So every woman, no matter where they were from, thought lesbian community was somewhere else. The San Francisco women said, oh, it's all over there in Berkeley. And the Berkeley women said, no, it's not here. It's in San Francisco.
So Joan Heberle is also my guest here in the studio. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest is Mickey Eliason. My other guest is Joan Heberle. She's the facilitator of this. What are you finding as you're doing the study? It's been going on now since the fall. And I'm wondering what kinds of things women are talking about in this study in terms of their health or their community.
Well, I think I want to reference just even our most recent session we had on Monday, and mm-hmm. we just had a really good interaction and conversation where the women talked about what they're doing differently. So instead of it being a weight loss program, which we know only 5% of people that go into weight loss programs, actually it's not successful with that. This is about changing your life the way you want to be healthy. So, for example, one of the women is starting to go to water aerobics. Another woman is starting to prepare for a bike-a-thon. Another one is walking regularly and getting others to join her. A couple of us are really trying to be much more mindful, and we'll talk about being mindful eaters and intuitive eaters, because a lot of times...
What's an intuitive eater? I want to know that now.
It's a kind of a cool name, huh? But really what happens is, like myself, I tend to eat really fast. I don't really always think about what I'm eating. I may like what I'm eating, but a lot of times I might be reading the newspaper. I might be watching television. I might be interfacing with friends or colleagues. And it's about really thinking about, what am I eating? How am I eating? And really starting to think about stopping eating when you are no longer hungry, as opposed to when you are full or stuffed. And it's a very different way of thinking. If you eat slower, mindfully, intuitively, you literally stop eating when you're no longer hungry, which is kind of the middle of being really full.
Well, and we also know medical research shows that smaller meals more frequently are healthier for the digestive system. So we know that, at least I do.
Right.
Something that I'm working on. And so that's interesting that people are in your study, that's kind of they're reporting to each other and to the study itself. They're reporting on what kinds of changes, what kinds of behaviors they're trying to change, what kinds of improvements they're trying, just a sense of awareness and a sort of mind-body awareness as well.
It's really a support piece, because we had a little break because of the holidays. And myself personally, as a participant, felt it was very challenging, because the holidays,
sugar,
with all the stuff going on with sugar and carbs and everything else, and really that knowing you were going to work with your group, it keeps you just kind of on track. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, people are sharing articles about sugar, carbohydrates, sharing recipes, various things like that, and keeping that going.
Well, Mickey Eliason, what are some of the problems lesbian women over 40 face in their health and in aging in their health? I mean, besides weight, what else is going on?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing I want to say is...
And what does it have to do with being lesbian? I mean, I think that's the interesting sort of thing, is why is this different than non-lesbian or non-bisexual, non-transgendered women?
Mm-hmm. Well, the majority of older women are perfectly healthy and well-adjusted and have... just the problems that anybody else has as they age, and our joints start to wear out, we start to have more chronic health problems. But there are some problems that are more prevalent. And you mentioned at the beginning smoking. Almost twice as many lesbians smoke. And bisexual women smoke at even higher levels, and transgender women as well, even higher levels than lesbians. In fact, if you look at any health problem that's been studied, if you break it down by transgender women, bisexual women, lesbian women, trans and bi women tend to have greater problems. And I think it's because there's less community. lesbians have formed communities around health. Yes, they're much more isolated.
And the drinking as well, alcohol abuse and drug abuse, et cetera, are issues. It's always been an issue in our community from the beginning. We meet in bars. We can't be out. There's, you know, it's the discrimination, the oppression, whatever it is that, that makes us stress out and want to drink and eat. And
anxiety. Mental health problems and substance abuse are pretty clearly elevated in sexual minority women communities. Now, we're also heavier as a group. Almost all of the studies that compare weight do show higher levels of you know, what biomedical people call obesity or percent who are overweight. But what's interesting is if you look on at the research about the health problems that are thought to be caused by obesity, lesbian and bisexual women have no higher rate of diabetes, heart disease, high cholesterol, and most cancers. Even breast cancer, we've seen for years people saying lesbians are at risk for breast cancer.
Because they didn't have children.
At
risk.
Remember
that whole thing that went around?
Yes.
10 or 15 years ago that lesbians were getting breast cancer because they didn't procreate.
Right.
Because they didn't let their bodies do what naturally comes natural to a woman.
And because we smoke and drink at higher levels. But what's interesting is when you look at studies that actually look at rates of cancer, there's no difference.
Hmm. So perception is part of this, understanding how people feel about themselves and feel other, feel outsider status, and what kinds of coping mechanisms they use, whether it's food or drugs or alcohol or sex or whatever it is, to cope with. But now it's okay to be out, supposedly, right? So now there are people listening to this program going, why are they still talking about this in San Francisco? Well, it's okay to be out here and there and over here and maybe not in this job. And there are certain places, no. And there are certain countries in this country. I do want to say there are certain countries in this country because I'm not sure it's the United States anymore. When you think about the anti-discrimination laws protecting gays, it's only in certain states and gay marriage. There's a war going on. And there are certain states who, with all the states' rights things, have been given the freedom to just completely discriminate against gay people for housing, jobs, and any kind of, you know, marital equality. So, you know, that's why we're still talking about it, people that are wondering right now. And it seems to me that it makes sense to have two of the five studies nationally here in San Francisco because there is such a density of lesbian populace in the Bay Area and aging lesbians as well, the boomer population.
Right. So we have groups running in San Francisco and in Berkeley, but we also have a group in Santa Rosa, because if you look at the demographics, there is three times the density of lesbians in Santa Rosa as there is in San Francisco. And we have one group
that's hippies
going,
who couldn't stand the city. All right, I'm done.
One group that's in a mainstream retirement community. And they have
there is a retirement community up there for gays.
There is for gays, but this is the mainstream retirement community that has a group called the Rainbow Women. And there are over 100 women on their mailing list.
So that's a good place to tap into. Get your database, right? Get your people talking. What do you hope to achieve with this study? I'm talking with Mickey Elias and Joan Heberle here on Out in the Bay. We're talking about lesbian health, this big study. There are two different organizations, Lyon Martin Health Clinic here in San Francisco, as well as the San Francisco Community Center, which you're part of. Your study, Doing It for Ourselves, is part of. And we're studying lesbian health for the first time. It seems like for the first time that I've ever heard about it. Certainly the first time we've talked about it on this radio show over 8 years. And so I'm just wondering what you hope to find or what you are finding out or what kinds of results will come from this effort.
Well, I'll tell you what our objectives are, and then maybe Joan can talk about how it plays out in the groups. So our primary objective is to improve the quality of life of older lesbians, because we talked about, you know, this lack of community. So bringing people together in safe spaces where they can talk about their health and aging issues and gain support. So quality of life is our biggest measure. And then because of our funding source, some of the secondary measures are we want to shift in eating patterns to more healthy eating, you know, reducing some of the processed food and finding foods that feel good and feel healthy to the individual person. Everybody is so different metabolically, genetically, that we do not recommend any particular diets. In fact, we don't talk about diets. We talk about intuitive eating and finding what feels good in your own body and what gives you the best health. So we want to shift the eating patterns to more healthy as defined by the individual, and we want to increase movement, physical activity. It doesn't have to be go to the gym and pay a gym membership and work out. It can be do some chair dancing or move a little bit.
Or anything.
So increasing physical activity might be one of the most powerful things that people can do as they age.
So, and that's a general aging note anyway for everybody who's aging, which you will be if you get lucky enough to age.
And I think that that's interesting. And lesbians, you know, coming out of the lesbian movements of the 70s and 80s, it was all about movement and dancing and all about action and activity and camping. I mean, the camping lesbians, right? The potlucks and, oriented around food. Women oriented around food in general, and lesbians definitely oriented around potlucks and probably still do. Mm-hmm. So food is a huge part of community. Mm-hmm. That maybe is why we're fatter, but maybe are we fatter? And then also because we don't have to attract a man. So we can let ourselves go, if you will. I mean, I think there's truth in that. Let me just say it.
I think there is truth to that. And you mentioned also the fat politics, that there is more acceptance of larger bodies and different shapes and sizes in our community. But along with that, we grow up in a society that puts down women's bodies constantly. And it's hard, even lesbians who have been in fat-positive movements for years often do have some discontent about their own bodies, particularly as they age. And we wanted a safe place where people could talk about that.
Now, you've got women over 40 in this study, but I imagine that women in their 40s, early 40s, are saying and feeling a lot differently about this than women in their 60s. It's a different generation. It's the boomers versus Gen X. And tell me about that. What's that? What that's like in terms of the fat issue?
Yeah, the average age, actually, of the women who are in our program is 60.
Oh.
The criterion is 40 and above, but in reality, I think we only have one woman who's in her 40s because 40-year-olds are different. They tend to already have a lot of activities. They don't need the community in the same way as somewhat older women do.
So women who are facing death, in other words, yes.
Death or lesbian bed death or whatever. So we are getting an older audience. In fact, our Santa Rosa group is closer to 70.
Wow. But there is a difference between a Gen X 40-something and a boomer in terms of, well, we had the L word. That's the Gen X 40-something. Yes. And that was all about being, I mean, to us in our generation, perhaps it was sort of shocking. It was like, wow, they're all beautiful and thin. Mm-hmm. Well, that was L.A. Okay. But it was not like, it wasn't called the old dyke sitcom. You know, it was called the young, beautiful, hot lesbian sitcom. In some sense, in our minds. And so there is a divide in terms of values, I think, from the feminist values of the boomer generation and perhaps their feminist values, but definitely more paying attention to looks in the younger generations.
Well, one thing we're seeing among youth is a huge increase in the symptoms of eating disorders among
young
LGBT youth.
People. Mm-hmm. And why do you think that is?
I think part of it is the L word and the loss of lesbian feminism and a strong feminist movement within lesbian communities. Young people today are being socialized more in LGBT or queer communities, and they aren't getting the same exposure to feminism that us older dykes got. And I think we've lost something there.
And is that because they're around gay men in that sense of the queer thing, and the gay men are very much more... Well, they kind of do to each other what straight men do to straight women, which is to make them be thin and beautiful all the time.
That's right. All the studies on eating disorders and body image shows that gay men are much more like heterosexual women in how they view their bodies and the emphasis on thinness and youth. So it's a very different culture. Mm-hmm. And we've lost a lot of lesbian culture in the last many years, partly because we're more accepted and we don't need it as much. But
that's
as we
right.
age,
we
I
don't
think
need
we need
to be as siloed, as isolated or as separatist, as we used to say. We're more included. We're more part of the fabric of mainstream American life, probably. Let's go back to you, Joan Hepperly. You're facilitating this Doing It For Ourselves study there at the Gay Center in San Francisco. And I'm just wondering, what are you hearing? What kinds of things have struck you so far? What sticks out in your mind?
Well, one of the things we're talking about is exercise and movement. And at the beginning of each of the sessions, so we do a check-in, and then we do about 15 to 20 minutes of pranayama type of breathing and some yogic type of movement and stretching. Mm-hmm. And it's been very positive feedback from the women in being able to, you know, just feel like that really helps their body and it's something they can take with them wherever they are, if they're traveling or at work and sitting for a long period of time. So they're actually learning some skills and tools that they can use. I think the main thing is, you know, everybody coming to the group with the intention of getting something that they themselves are going to grab onto to use in their lifestyle change. Because it's really about the individual getting the information, getting the knowledge base, and Mickey's done an excellent job writing the curriculum and providing the resources. And it's what's each person going to do with that? They set their own goals. We set our own goals.
Well, it's a 12-week study. If you're involved in it, you have to commit to 12 weeks.
You commit to 12 weeks, and you also set some goals. And you have some consultation from some yoga instructors. And it's about you doing it, but at the same time having the support from one another. So a number of the women will say, you know, I came to this because I felt like I wanted some support around this. And people feel a very sense of camaraderie and being able to support one another.
So there are probably going to be some friendships struck up here.
I think there have been. Mm-hmm. And I think
that will last beyond the study, that will help support the community.
I think that that's already, I think I've already formed, you know, one or two friendships mm-hmm. From the group and anticipate those continuing.
What is this, the HHS that funded this, what do they hope to gain from this research that you and Lyon Martin are doing? Mickey?
Well, they would like to just increase the research base on lesbian health. For one thing, most of the research has focused on just describing health problems in the community, and very little has been intervention-driven, you know, developing something actually that might improve the health of lesbians. So this is a first in studying an intervention. And I hope they'll continue funding lesbian health projects as a result of this. And when we show,
instead of just being a one-off, one-shot big thing once, and then that was it. And then remember that thing 20 years ago when they did that one thing mm-hmm. like that?
I wanted to build on something Joan said, too, about the physical activity, because we heard in the focus groups and early on of people saying, I don't want some skinny Barbie-like yoga teacher telling me what to do. And many felt intimidated about going to gyms or rec centers because of their larger bodies or physical health limitations. So we developed a video of women who are like the women in the program, of larger size and older women, demonstrating all of these physical movement activities. And that is on our website. Anybody want to access it for free? You'll see a routine that was developed in combination with a yoga teacher and a physical therapist to be something that's safe, that anybody can do, but a highly effective spine mobility and other activities.
DIFO, DIFO. That stands for Doing It For Ourselves, DIFO Bay Area. DIFOBayArea.org is the website. It's a fantastic website. There's lots of links to other articles and other publications, as well as the blogs, and as well as what you just described, this video. And I think that's important for people who are aging to not be, to be able to see somebody like themselves teaching them, instead mm-hmm. of the youth culture representative who has never been fat a day in his or her life.
Absolutely.
I struggle to find a trainer through the gym that I go to, just somebody who could understand anything about how the fact that I can't do squats with my knee. Mm-hmm. And they just couldn't. I got this guy, and he just could not hear it. He's just 30-something-year-old muscle guy. Straight guy. Couldn't hear me. I said, I can't do that. We'll try it. Well, I can't. Mm-hmm. He thought I can't was like, I don't know. It drove me a little crazy.
Yeah, you're describing an experience that many of the women in our program have had, and they just don't like going to gyms because of that.
Because so they feel bad about themselves.
We give alternatives, the things you can do at home. We also host community events, including dances, and many of us are part of a walking group, the San Francisco Walking Dykes. We're hoping to start one in the East Bay as well.
That's nice. So the whole overall goal for you all personally, the two of you, is really to improve the community and to do the research. I mean, you're a researcher, you're a professor of health education, San Francisco State, Mickey Elias, and my guest here. And Joan Hepperly, you're hoping to improve the health of the older women, lesbian women and gay, and, I mean, mm-hmm. bisexual and transgendered women as well, in the community, and make us better, help us.
I'm a researcher, but I'm also, you know, 30 years of experience of living in lesbian and LGBT communities, and this is the sort of community I want for myself.
Eric Jansen, my co-producer and co-host on this radio program, was supposed to host this show, and I had thought that he should host the lesbian health show, and because I thought, well, I should probably just recuse myself as a fat dyke, and because I'll be, you know, it's too close to home. I don't know what it was, but here I am. I'm filling in for him because he couldn't be here with us tonight, and I thought I should recuse myself. And you're of the age, and you're not particularly, talk about yourself a little bit, Mickey, about you feel being part of this.
Another thing that came out of the focus
as a role
groups
model
was that people were adamant that they wanted the facilitators of these groups to be like them, to be women of size, to be older women from the community. And I'm facilitating two of the groups because I really need the hands-on experience of how does this curriculum work. And I am constantly challenged on not being fat enough. It's an interesting experience because in the rest of the world, I think I'm looked at as kind of, you know, a chubby or plump type. But in this group, I'm constantly challenged on what is your BMI and how old are you? And
they want you to be even fatter?
Yeah.
That never happens.
You can't come to our fat women swim because you're not big enough. And it's an interesting dynamic.
The fat rights thing that came about in the 90s, that was pretty powerful stuff. You know, Fat is a Feminist Issue, the book that came out then. And so, well, I really appreciate you coming on and talking about this because it's something that we never talk about. I mean, 20 years ago, I was doing jokes in my stand-up act about lesbian invisibility. No one ever talked about lesbians. And then Howard Stern decided that that's what would get in ratings. And then he started talking about it on Letterman. And then Ellen came out. And then blah, 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 blah. It's all transformed and transformed. And yet I don't think that our community, the women of our generation who are going through various aging and health difficulties, are ever seen in this culture. They're not seen. They're not, I mean, very, very little. It's still sort of this L-word image of what lesbians are. And so there's still a sort of invisibility, at least for our generation, and you're helping make us more visible with this study.
Hopefully next year you'll see a calendar of the women of DIFO.
So the women of DIFO. DIFO. The women of DIFO. Fat, beautiful, and fit. Well, then there was the fat and fit thing that went on, too. You could be fit if you're fat. But there is a huge discrimination. There's a huge judgment people have in America about fat. Mm-hmm. And people suffer a lot. Mm-hmm. Jobs, relationships, anything. Just dirty looks while they're trying to eat their dinner. Mm-hmm. Ordering food, buying food in a grocery store if you're fat. You know, people give you a lot of attitude, I think. So I appreciate this a lot, that you being here. And I thought that since... Sisters are doing it for themselves, and of course that's the famous Eurythmic song that has Aretha Franklin singing with Annie Lennox, and so I thought we'd go out with that. Mickey Eliason's been my guest here on Out in the Bay. She is the creator of DIFO, Doing It for Ourselves. It's a lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered women's study on health issues currently underway here in the San Francisco Bay Area, DIFOBayArea.org. And my guest is also Joan Hepperly. She is a facilitator and participant and a former educator here in San Francisco. She's a facilitator of this program. So thank you both very much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
It's lovely. Thanks again.
And we're looking for participants still.
And we're looking for DIFO Bay Area, D-I-F-O, BayArea.org. People, get it on the line.
There we go. We're waiting. Starting new groups around the 1st of March.
Good. Here we go. We're going to go out with some Annie Lennox, and then I'll come back and do some credits. This is with Aretha Franklin. And this is kind of revolutionary there back in the 80s, or I guess maybe late 80s, early 90s, somewhere around in there. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. To Out in the Bay, Gay Radio from San Francisco. My guests have been Mickey Eliason, San Francisco State Health Professor and Researcher, and Joan Hepperly, the facilitator of the Lesbian and Bisexual Women's Health Study, Doing It for Ourselves. It's now underway in the San Francisco Bay Area, DIFOBayArea.org, to sign up. As I said in the beginning of the program, where else are you going to hear about these health issues and needs of aging lesbian women? The Chronicle? CNN? The Advocate? Ha! No. Because lesbians only seem to get press when they look young and hot and beautiful. So here we are on Out in the Bay. We're on at 7 o'clock every Thursday, 7 o'clock Pacific. The show airs and streams. You can hear it on your phone. Go to our website, download the Stitcher app, and you can download our podcast or listen on demand. Please make a contribution. Just hit the Donate Now button there at outinthebay.com. Thanks to the staff and management of KLW. Joanne Marr is our engineer. Out in the Bay is produced by Eric Jansen and me. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Thanks for joining me.